turn to our sermon text, which will be two readings. The first is in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. And then let's turn to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verses 16 to 22. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is the greater gift? Which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Well, it turns out people are promise breakers. It doesn't take long to live in this world to find out that people are liars. And we know this to be the case, one, because we've all done it. We have all lied. And secondly, we have all been lied to. And thus, because we do live in a dishonest world, we've come up with ways to assure others we're really telling the truth. You can believe me. You can trust me. As children, we do the pinky promise. You recall pinky promises. As adults, we say things. We end our sentences with, I swear, which makes me wonder if the person often tells the truth otherwise, or one of my favorites, well, to be perfectly honest. Well, are you not always perfectly honest with me? But to that end, what our Lord tells us here is that Christians need not use such phrases. We should be known as truth tellers, that our yes is yes, our no is no, and we have no need to swear by these other things, that we are to be promise keepers, and nothing beyond that is needed. So due to lying, one, we have found ways to convince others we're telling the truth. We say these things. That's the reason the Pharisees perverted this teaching. We've also found ways to convince others when we are lying, that we try to convince others we're telling the truth when that's not the case. For example, again, as children, we make a promise, but we cross our fingers behind our backs, thinking that we can say one thing but really intend another by this trick, right? It's a perversion of the truth. And it's those crossed fingers, really, is that Jesus is getting at with the Pharisees' perversion. The Pharisees are doing a sort of adult version of crossing their fingers. Thus, Jesus calls them out for their sinful misuse of oaths and vows and corrects their false teaching. So verse 33 from chapter 5, Jesus says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. And like the other Pharisaic perversions, there's not an Old Testament verse that says that exactly. And yet, the statement taken by itself is an accurate summary of biblical teaching. So what were the Pharisees doing? What was their manipulation here of the biblical text of Leviticus 9? And it's the corruption of this biblical teaching. They believed that you did not need to keep your vow or your oath unless the divine name had been used. And that is particularly what Jesus is addressing. So the Pharisees would have no problem with what we had just read, Leviticus 19:12. Do not swear falsely by the name of the Lord. They would say, you must keep that oath. But the corruption is that they developed a theology of oaths, a sophisticated version of crossed fingers, in which they said, oh, but if you swore by the gold, you did not need to keep that oath, which Jesus addresses later in chapter 23. But what is Jesus' teaching of oaths then? In taking the scriptures as a whole, we can summarize Jesus' teaching, the biblical teaching, by saying that when we take an oath, right, if we are to swear, we may only call upon God to witness it. Our oaths are only to be taken in the name of the Lord as we ask him to vindicate our honesty, which means that Christians are not to swear lightly. When we do take oaths, it is a very serious matter when we take vows. I feel like we've dealt with this in the weeks past, so I won't belabor the point, but we've talked a lot about marriage vows. We've talked about baptismal vows. We've talked about membership vows. These things are not to be taken lightly. That's why our new members class is structured around the vows. When a child is baptized, maybe you don't know this, but I sit down and talk with the parents about what the vows mean they're going to take. It is a serious matter to not be taken lightly. That is the biblical teaching when we swear in our vows or in our oaths. They are also not to be done irreverently or rashly, but we are to be truth tellers, promise keepers, and sober-minded in our vow-taking and oath-taking. This is in accord with verse 34. Jesus says, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. That James would also later say something similar. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Be a promise keeper, a truth teller. There was a seminary professor who needed some work done in his study. And so he approached a Christian carpenter, hired a Christian carpenter. And they agreed to meet at his study at a particular time, on a particular day. And of course, I think we can all relate to this. The professor shuffles his schedule around, frees up the time to meet the carpenter to get the work done, and the carpenter does not show, the carpenter does not call, and the professor waits all day. Later, running across, the carpenter asks, where were you at? Did we not agree on this time, this date? And the carpenter responded, well, the night before, I received a call for a big job, and if I was to secure that contract, I had to meet that next day during our time to get it. But don't worry, I'll get around to you. It is to say, this carpenter's yes didn't mean yes. He meant yes unless something better comes along. But that is not how the Christian is supposed to be. Our yes is yes. Our no is no. And we are to be trusted such that we do not need to swear beyond such a simple agreement. But what about other oaths we take that we are asked to take? What we read, Jesus says we are not to swear at all. And at first glance, this appears to be a prohibition against all oaths, that we are never to vow, never to swear. You think of maybe a signed affidavit for something. Or what about going to the courtroom where you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. Interesting, our government wants God out of most things, but not the courtroom. We want God there witnessing that. But is it appropriate to take such an oath as a witness? And some Christians, such as Anabaptists and the Quakers, have taken the verse quite literally, I would say even out of context here. They do not swear such oaths. But the context is important. It's not a prohibition on all swearing, but it's a ban on swearing by anything other than God. We know this to be the case because the entirety of Scripture we just read in Leviticus, where we are not to swear falsely by the name of God, but we may truly swear by his name. We know this because Jesus himself is put under oath by the name of God in Matthew 26. We read there, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus in Matthew 26, put under oath in the name of God. And he replies honestly. He accepts the oath and bears witness to the Lord and is vindicated in his honesty. So what Jesus is concerned with in chapter 5 and in chapter 23 is not swearing in and of itself, but swearing by things other than the Lord. And Jesus lists a number of these things that sort of, right, that crossed fingers, Pharisaic perversion that they had done, right? They said, oh, we're not to swear. Well, Jesus says we are not to swear by heaven, God's throne, the earth, Jerusalem, the gold of the temple, the gifts of the altar, because swearing by these things is dishonest and has the intent of deceit. Swearing by these matters were ways for the Pharisees to deceive others, be dishonest, and tell lies. That is to say, as Christians, we learn that we have no need for pinky promises. Or maybe you hear people, we have no, say things like, you know, I swear on my mother's grave. Well, we have no need, right? People speak this way because often people are dishonest. But we know that truth is sacred, and we ought to be straightforward. But here we begin to ask ourselves, which one, it's easy to think of all the people who have lied to us. But here we begin to think how often we are like the Pharisees. How often do we twist the truth, make false promises, manipulate people, deceive others in order to avoid being honest? For example, prayer meetings. Prayer meetings are often, well, they can often be the occasion for the temptation to gossip. It's well known that folks like to gossip in prayer meetings. I think of one prayer meeting where gossip was going on. The man who ran the prayer meeting was confronted and said, I hear that there is gossip in the prayer meeting about me. Is this true? And the man said, there's no gossip in the prayer meeting. Yes, but I hear that there is gossip at the prayer meeting during the time the people are together. Well, yes, that's why I said in the prayer meeting. And the man still never confessed to what everybody knew, which was clearly there was gossip going on before and after the meeting. But how clever we can be to avoid honesty in such a position, perhaps using technical language in that way. Or how often we equivocate. We say something that has a plain sense, a simple way to be understood by everybody, and yet in our hearts we meet it in a different way than those hearing would take it. Recall a minister who's no longer in the ministry, but swearing, taking a vow that he believed in our confessions and catechisms in regards to Sabbath keeping, but in his heart would always murmur, in Christ, by which he did not really mean a confessional view of Sabbath keeping. He meant that he was free to do as he pleased because he thought Christ was his Sabbath. That is an equivocation. He swore, took the vow falsely. There's a plain meaning to, do you believe the confession on the Sabbath? It is these sorts of things that our Lord is condemning in this passage. Ways of deceit, ways of making promises, ways of swearing falsely. And so he teaches us that we need not swear needlessly or disguise the truth in it. And I pray that we see such clever swearing as dishonest. It's a violation of the third commandment. It's a violation of the ninth commandment. Such swearing takes the Lord's name in vain and bears false witness against our neighbor. Not only is it a problem because of this, but also the hypocrisy. It's the hypocrisy that the Pharisees showed, truly, in not understanding God. They could falsely swear by the temple, but not the gold of the temple, as though it wasn't the temple that made the gold sacred. They could falsely swear by the altar, but not the gift upon the altar, as if the altar didn't make the gift sacred. They would swear by heaven, as if God was not there. They would swear by the earth, as if the Lord was not present. The hypocrisy to think that God is not present at his footstool and doesn't hear our false oath taking. It is to say, Jesus points out to them, we live coram Deo. We live before the face of God. in his presence. He hears every oath we take. He hears every vow that we take, every promise we make to our parents, every promise we make to our children, every promise we make to our spouse, to our neighbors. They have all been heard. We cannot pretend that he is not present witnessing our swearing. And I imagine that is quite convicting as we think of how we have fallen short of this in our own life. Not keeping promises, not keeping vows, being dishonest, manipulating the truth. And what are we to do then? If we are convicted by this sin, well, certainly we confess our sins, confess our false swearing, and look to God, look to Christ for forgiveness. Though we have been promise breakers, we have hope in the promise keeper. We have hope in our Trinitarian God who has a perfect record of promise keeping and therefore gives us hope when he promises us eternal life if we trust in Christ alone. Consider how our Lord promised Noah he wouldn't flood the earth again, and he hasn't. He promised Abram and Sarai they would have a child, and they did. He promised the land of Canaan to Israel, and that was fulfilled in that promise he made through Joshua. He promised David he would have a son forever to sit on his throne, fulfilled in Christ. And God has promised us eternal life, and he has promised us forgiveness in Christ. He has promised to sanctify us and make us holy. He has promised that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and he will turn us from promise breakers to keepers, from those who tell lies to those who tell the truth. He has promised to bring us to our eternal home, to a land where there are no liars. And all of his promises will be fulfilled. But in the meantime, let us come out of the world. Let us leave the deception of lying, and may we be truth tellers. May our yes be yes and our no be no, and may that be our reputation. May we live in accordance with 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is to say, we have the promise of forgiveness, the promise of eternal life. Therefore, let us put away the sin of lying, the sin of swearing falsely, and let us be perfected in holiness and truth-telling. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, may we be a people that do tell the truth, that have no need to deceive and are honest. And we pray that if the temptation to lie does rear its head, that it may be snuffed out. Lord, you would apply the Spirit to us and sanctify us in this area, that we may look like Christ, the perfect truth teller. So Lord, keep us from Pharisaic perversions and give us to Christ to live and to act as he did. We pray in his name. Amen.